This podcast episode is brought to you by Coors Light. These days, everything is go, go, go. It's nonstop hustle all the time. Work, friends, family expect you to be on 24/7. Well, sometimes you just need to reach for a Coors Light because it's made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. It is literally made to chill. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
All right, welcome in to the Establish the Pass podcast, officially episode number 4 here. I am your host, Blake Lovell. With me is my co-host, Dylan Reagan. And Dylan, officially episode 4 because we did have a mini episode earlier in the week to talk about Andrew Luck's retirement and all the good stuff that came along with that, the good and the bad, when you consider kind of the reactions all throughout the NFL to it. But so today we're going to kind of turn the page, and as we go into our headlines, Dylan, I think everybody kind of knows if you want to listen to the Andrew Luck stuff, you should definitely go back and check out that episode. We covered all that in there, but we're also going to touch on some things that maybe relate to the Colts too when it comes to playoffs. And yes, we are talking about playoffs, Mr. Mora.
Yeah, so it should be, yeah, in this episode we'll go through some of the teams that made the postseason last year that are in danger of missing it in 2019, as well as some of the non-playoff teams that are look the most dangerous going into the next season. As I mentioned on the end of the last episode, there's about 5 to 6 teams each year or so that miss the playoffs that made it the year before and then obviously make it that are new teams. 2 years ago, it was actually 8 new teams in the playoffs. So we'll see what happens. There's a lot of dangerous teams, especially in the NFC. I kind of put a few more there than the AFC. But overall, there's a lot of competition in the entire NFL, and it will be interesting to see how all these races play out by the end of the year.
Yeah, and we'll have our predictions on that for all those races on our next episode, which will be our mega preseason predictions. We'll have everything from division winners, playoff teams, Super Bowl picks, all that good stuff. So you'll be able to listen to that next week right before the start of the regular season. But let's go ahead and jump into our headlines, and not really a ton because the Andrew Luck stuff has really been the most talked about thing in the NFL, as we know, here over the past week or so now. Well, not a full week, but pretty much since it happened last weekend. And so we dive into trades because there are trade rumors out there, and one specifically is Jadeveon Clowney, and we've been talking about this one for a while, Dylan. There's been plenty of rumors out there that the Texans were going to eventually trade him at some point. The rumors continue, especially heated up on Tuesday when reports came out that Clowney had met, you know, with the Dolphins, and that was a team that had been rumored for maybe a couple weeks or so now as a potential destination for him. But you also have reports out there as well that the Eagles or the Seahawks could be two teams that he prefers. Maybe they have the edge in terms of what he prefers, but the Dolphins still think that they're the front runners, according to some of these reports, and that's going to make this whole deal very fascinating because somebody's going to get a really good player, and I think for the Texans, the GM-less Texans, this is a pretty big decision for them because they feel like they're going to need to get something back, and most reports seem to say it's going to be for a left tackle.
Yeah, they also, on top of that, say that the compensation the Texans are asking for is considered reasonable, so they're not trying to really break the bank here with what they're looking for. In terms of the Dolphins, I mean, yeah, it might take some convincing for Clowney to go there. I think for them, if you're going to make that trade, you kind of want to be convinced that he's going to sign a long-term extension with you, because even with Clowney, I'm not sure the Dolphins are really doing much. And then at that point, if you trade away a solid player, maybe a second or first round draft pick, the most you're going to get in a comp pick's a third rounder if Clowney leaves after 1 year. So what I'm not sure what they're really gaining there, unless they are positive he's going to be there for the long term. On the flip side, for a team like the Eagles or Seahawks, some of these ones that are interested in him, the Eagles especially intrigue me. I mean, if we're talking about the Texans wanting a left tackle, it would be kind of funny if the Eagles were like, hey, we traded up in the draft right in front of you to take Andre Dillard. They're supposed to be their future left tackle, and now they could possibly flip him for Clowney. It would be interesting to see it happen. I'm not sure if that's enough for the Eagles even do it. Like, they might want something else back. They seem pretty happy with that draft pick, and not the Eagles aren't exactly a team that needs a ton of help along the defensive line, so they're already pretty set there. But that is one scary proposition for if I'm an NFC fan of any, especially teams in that division with the Eagles. If you add Clowney to that group on that defensive line, it becomes that much more scary.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's, again, whoever gets him is getting a good player. And like we said, you know, being an opportunity to be traded to a playoff team would probably be his preference, because we've talked about the Dolphins already on the first several podcasts. I mean, they're a team that I don't think a lot of people believe are going to be in that playoff hunt, because they don't have maybe the depth at some of these skill positions. And certainly they've got some things to figure out there in Brian Flores' first season there. So certainly, you know, going to the Eagles, going to the Seahawks, teams like that would probably give him more of an opportunity to get to the playoffs. But as we know with these trade rumors, we may be sitting here talking about the Dolphins, the Eagles, and the Seahawks, but there could be another team that pops up from out of nowhere and becomes the team that he's eventually traded to. But it does seem like at this point that they're going to make this happen. It's just a matter of who and exactly when it will happen, when the Texans can do that. So we'll be fascinating to watch, and certainly in terms of trade rumors, he's the one that we have our eye on here ahead of the start of the regular season. Another big headline, and it was one where I think it started off as something as people were making their jokes and not exactly sure, you know, what avenue this was going to be. When we talk about Rob Gronkowski, there was a report that came out that he was going to, you know, have a meet with the media, talk about his next chapter. There are people, you know, you saw the jokes about the XFL, and is he going to go to the WWE, and all this different stuff, which has been rumored, you know, for him to get into wrestling. And obviously the XFL stuff was nothing but pure joking back and forth. But what he talked about actually wasn't a joking matter, and it's something that I think, Dylan, you know, with this Andrew Luck thing, it sort of continues the theme in that what he's doing is kind of promoting something that sort of, you know, relates to what Andrew Luck went through when we think about it.
Yeah, so yeah, Gronkowski here, the big thing that he was doing was trying to promote CBD oil and products as a way to help athletes manage their pain. And yeah, exactly. He went in and opened up, and it was very emotional and tough to even watch Gronkowski kind of break down as he talked about, you know, telling, like, making it clear to the fans that he had to recover. He wasn't in a good place. He said, football is bringing me down and I didn't like it. I was losing that joy in life. And you could tell it was really affecting him. And yet it's pretty striking when we think about some of the things he brought up in that Andrew Luck episode, questioning his toughness and what he's going through. Then you see Gronkowski, and it's a very different sentiment. Obviously, they play different positions, but still, you don't know what a guy's going through and what is really happening to them. Gronkowski also talked about his quad injury that he suffered during the Super Bowl and how he could hardly sleep after the game and was crying in bed despite just winning the Super Bowl. Obviously had the big catch that put them in position to get the what ended up being the game-winning touchdown. So yeah, it's a rough kind of thing to watch, but also moving and good to think about just overall what these players go through, what they put themselves through. And and obviously he's having success with CBD, and it's great to see that, you know, a guy can find a way to manage his pain without taking some of these painkillers and things that we've seen other players, maybe not so recently, but more in the past, struggle with addiction issues.
Yeah, no, I mean, the Andrew Luck things open up a lot of discussion, and, you know, right before the start of the regular season, you hope it kind of registers for people as we get closer to the season, because that's when the grind really hits, and you're going, you know, you have teams playing back to back to back to back and so on, where that recovery period is not a very long one in the grand scheme of things, week to week. Yeah, you've got the bye week sprinkled in there, but as we know, most of these guys could use probably 3 or 4 bye weeks in a row to just take off and not have to go through that from a pain standpoint. And so, yeah, this, you know, the Andrew Luck, the Gronk stuff, that there's just a lot of attention on this now, and hopefully, like I said, it continues to be something that's talked about. You see former players have all come out and talked about, you know, what they've dealt with and all that, and It's something that needs to continue to be discussed because it is a much larger deal, as we mentioned in the past with CTE and all that different stuff. I mean, there's so many layers to this, and it's something where at least the awareness has gotten so much better, and you feel like guys are at least making the right decisions and having an opportunity to not be in a situation where they're in this type of pain, you know, as they get older and all that, because it's just, it is. It's such a physically demanding game, and it's something where you hope all these guys find a way to deal with it properly here moving forward. But we wrap up the headlines with sort of a situation in San Francisco with Jerick McKinnon, who is someone, I think, you know, got injured last year. Most people thought, you know, back on track, getting an opportunity to get back in the mix there for what's a pretty deep 49ers backfield. However, and now it looks like that may not be the case, Dylan. It looks like he may still be out for a little while. Even though we were all sort of really just in the past couple days, it seemed like reports suggested that he was going to be back, ready to go. It doesn't seem that way now.
Yeah, it's disappointing thinking about what McKinnon, when they brought him in last year with a Kyle Shanahan's offense, to think about him in that role, it kind of seems to fit perfectly. They've kind of have a similar style player in Tevin Coleman now, picking him up. So, like you mentioned, they have a deep backfield. They're going to be fine if McKinnon can't go. We'll see over the next few days leading up to the season how severe this injury is by the time this podcast comes out. Maybe they'll announce the actual timetable. Right now, John Lynch said the outlook is not encouraging. Because, yeah, it is in the surgically repaired knee, the same one. So, tough for San Francisco. I mean, the last year we think about what they went through and Shanahan not really having a fair shot with so many injuries. Garoppolo, you know, obviously is the one that gets the most headlines. But they had tons of injuries across the board and a very beat-up team. Hopefully, you know, McKinnon, this isn't too serious and he doesn't miss too much time. But, I mean, we saw Matt Breida last year, just an absolute animal. Like, he's going through so many injuries and kept playing. If Tevin Coleman can stay healthy, they're still going to have a pretty good 1-2 punch back there and should be fine going forward this year.
Yeah, we'll see what happens there. But, yeah, injuries have not been kind to that team, specifically over the past couple years, as we know. And, yeah, unfortunate to have a setback like that. Really good player, and hopefully he's able to get back on the field here sooner rather than later, fully healthy and ready to go there for the Niners. But, all right, let's jump into the meat of this discussion, and we'll start, like we said, we're all about playoffs today, and we want to really focus in on teams that could and maybe will not make the playoffs. We'll start with the pessimistic view. We'll give you the optimism after that, but well, we'll start off with the pessimism and discuss the teams from 2018 that made the playoffs that could very well miss the playoffs this season. And, you know, I guess no specific order in terms of these teams, but these are the teams, as Dylan mentioned, you look at the numbers, there are going to be teams that will miss the playoffs. And, you know, from a statistical standpoint, it's going to be several that miss it, that were in it last year. That's just the way it works. We've seen that trend over the years. And that's just, again, that's the nature of the NFL. There's always changes like that when it comes to the postseason. So we dive in on these teams specifically, and again, we are trying to poke holes in the potential resumes of these particular teams. We start in Seattle with the Seahawks, who went 10-6 last season. Dylan, I think the Seahawks are a team, you know, they play in that division. It seems like for most people, it's the Rams and the Seahawks. The Niners, you know, could be that intriguing sort of sleeper team. The Cardinals, I think most people expect that they're in a rebuilding phase. But, you know, with the Seahawks, I mean, they have good talent. And I think it comes down to, and we'll talk more about this, certainly, you know, it's their offensive capabilities. When you think about, you know, what Russell Wilson has to work with him around him, whether that's from an on-field standpoint or a coordinator standpoint, and again, it does go back to that division as well, when we kind of see where things are with the NFC West right now.
Yeah, even before I started thinking about the Seahawks, just on the team itself, I also looked at their schedule. I know the NFC West plays the AFC North this year, so that's not going to be easy, having to face Pittsburgh, Cleveland, and Baltimore. And all three of those games will be tough. And on the flip side, in the NFC, they also face the entire NFC South. So now you're getting another great division that's super deep. We've talked about, you know, Tampa Bay being better this year, Carolina and Atlanta. We'll talk more about them potentially in the second section. We'll find out about teams that missed the playoffs and couldn't make it this year. Yeah, and then you got the Saints. So those are all tough games. They also get a tough draw from their NFC East matchup. They'll play the Eagles. So the schedule is not easy. And the NFC just overall is so deep that, I mean, I'd be surprised, but you could almost make an argument for each team in the NFC that made the playoffs last year having a shot at missing it just because the whole conference is so strong. But then we go into Seattle, like you mentioned, with the lack of trust that I have and I mentioned previously in Brian Schottenheimer's offensive philosophy. I want them to throw the ball more, a lot more in early downs, put Russell Wilson in places to succeed when the defense isn't necessarily looking for a pass on, you know, 3rd and 7, 3rd and 8. They rushed the ball great last year, and, you know, they ran the ball more than anyone else, so you better hope they can run. It's just, again, the strength of all the teams they're facing overall is going to be an issue, and I still have, you know, we'll see if he can adjust the philosophy, be a bit more aggressive. This is a team that played in a ton of really close games last year. Didn't really win, you know, they won about half of them, I believe. So they were, you know, kind of in the middle, right probably where they should have been at 10-6. But, we'll see with Doug Baldwin out, what they can do along their receiving corps. DK Metcalf has a lot of hype around him, but there's also concerns about him, you know, not really being able to run the full route tree. So, yeah, a lot of just some of the concerns that some of the teams that aren't going to be on this list I didn't have with them kind of developed themselves with Seattle.
Yeah, I mean, like you said, Tyler Lockett, I mean, he can be a playmaker. I think Chris Carson, who we've talked about several times now, using him more in the passing game, that's going to be important because he's someone, as we know, he's a playmaker. He's gotten a lot better, and, you know, they're going to feed him the ball a lot this year, and he's someone who's going to have a lot of touches. And you mentioned Metcalf. If he can kind of be that playmaker too, they've gotten stuff to work with. It's just a matter of that consistency and being able to kind of develop a scheme that's a little more – I don't want to say exciting, but just a little more, you know, kind of forward thinking, I guess, in terms of what they do there with the weapons that they have. And again, what you said, you know, there are a lot of good teams that miss the playoff every year. And I think the Seahawks have the chance to be a good team, but that schedule does matter. And, you know, even if you miss the playoffs winning 9 or 10 games because you played such a tough schedule, or you put yourself in a position where you just didn't, you know, couldn't get that extra win or whatever, that's what the strength of schedule has to do with there. And so the Seahawks, that could be a couple of those reasons we mentioned, could be the reasons that they missed the playoffs this season. The next one has certainly one that has become more obvious over the past 5 days, and we alluded to this on our Andrew Luck episode, and that is, of course, the Indianapolis Colts, who went 10-6 last season. It all starts, Dylan, as we know, with Luck retiring and how they adjust to that. I mentioned it in that episode as well, that it's not exactly like they're picking up someone off the street to play at quarterback, because Jacoby Brissett, I mean, he has proven himself. He's someone with a lot of talent, and I think there will be ways they can use him a little bit differently than Andrew Luck, and so maybe there are some things they can take advantage of there. Still, you know, for me, the biggest question is just going to be how they adjust to that, because I don't think it's going to be a process to where, okay, Andrew Luck retired last week, all of a sudden they've got everything figured out going into week one next week.
Yeah, their overall strength of the roster definitely is encouraging. So from that standpoint, you know, the talent around Brissett isn't a concern for me. And the defense is only getting better down the stretch of the year. They started kind of imposing their will and kind of coming together as a unit. And out of camp right now, there's only good things coming out about what they've been able to do and how they're going to be moving forward. So this team should stick around. I don't think they're going to just, you know, fall off a cliff. They're not going to go 4-12. There's too much talent on this team to not still compete and not still be in these games. And it's not like they're in a division that's, you know, has one team outside of them that's truly dominant. Yep. They don't play in the same division as the Chiefs. They don't play in the same division as the Patriots. They have a shot, and they're going to be competing in these games with the teams like the Titans, Jags. So they got to, you know, they have they can do this, but it's not going to be easy, and they're going to probably have to win a lot of close games by the end of the year. It's going to come down probably to that, because they're not going to really be able to run away from too many teams without having Andrew Luck back there.
Yeah, their margin for error is you know, it's smaller now in terms of, whereas Andrew Luck could have made certain plays or gotten them out of certain situations. You know, Andrew Jacoby Brissett, he can still do that. It's just we don't have the proven sort of track record in that same exact scenario, maybe, that with someone like Luck, as we know, is, you know, one of the guys we've talked about as being one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL over the years. And so now you put yourself in those situations. Are you able to get yourself, you know, out of a hole if you're down, you know, 10 going into the fourth quarter or something like that? Yep. There's just lots of different scenarios that we don't really know how the Colts are going to react without Andrew Luck under center. And like you said, that division, which we mentioned, I would be surprised if the Texans finished fourth. But then again, I could see the other three teams in the division all finishing last. So I think that's a situation where you look at a division like that, to where it's completely wide open. You could see maybe any possible order of finish here. Like I said, I think I would probably lean towards, I'd be very surprised if the Texans finished last, but you know what? If the Jags or the Titans finished last in the division, maybe it wouldn't be that shocking, even though we have talked about both of those teams potentially being good, potentially being playoff teams. But I'm still in a scenario where I want to see it with both of those right out of the gate and see if maybe they have turned that corner. It's a very wide open division, and maybe that is one part of the positive scenario for the Colts, is that, like you said, there's not a dominant team that we can sit here right now and say that team we know is getting to the playoffs from that division. So that does give the Colts a chance to at least have an opportunity to win the AFC South this year, even with some of the changes. And again, we poked the holes in the possibilities of what would prevent them from doing that. That's a good segue, because we are going to go to the Texans. Naturally, just a perfect segue. You know, this is a team I go back and forth on, and certainly, you know, the Lamar Miller injury was something that doesn't help. Even like we said, they did get Duke Johnson now, and now they have him there. That trade is probably making them feel a little bit better, but still, losing your starting running back, you know, to a torn ACL, not good. We've mentioned the issues on the offensive line with them. They're still a team with Deshaun Watson, DeAndre Hopkins. You know, you feel like their setup is pretty good. But I'm still in a scenario. I think we said this on the very first podcast. I think the Texans could be good, but I still don't see the Texans as a team that can win, let's say, multiple playoff games and get, you know, a team that can go deep in the playoffs. And that's why they're still maybe on that line, and that's why we put them in this specific section, because they could be a team that's left out just because we can see some of those weaknesses that are still present with this team.
Yeah, when I first saw the Luck retirement, I kind of thought about the Texans and been like, wow, okay, they have now they can, you know, this is their time to take this division. But then the more you think about it, again, like you brought up so many great points about, there's just so many questions. They're pretty top-heavy team. We think about Watson, Hopkins, Watt, and they, you know, some of the best players at their specific positions. But that doesn't change some of the issues they have. You already mentioned the offensive line. I think the secondary is the one that, when I kind of look deeper into it, that really stood out. So last year they finished 18th in pass defense efficiency, despite, as Warren Sharp brought up in his preview book, facing quarterbacks including Brock Osweiler, Blaine Gabbert, Blake Bortles, Cody Kessler, Colt McCoy, Case Keenum, Nathan Peterman, Marcus Mariota. You have Dak, so, you know, a little bit better there. Eli Manning, Nick Foles, Josh Allen, and Sam Darnold, a couple of rookies there at the end. They also face Baker Mayfield. So, yeah, I mean, the fact that they finished, you know, on the bottom half of the league in pass defense against some of these QBs, they're not going to face those guys again. They're going to have a much tougher slate of opposing quarterbacks. They do get a little bit of a relief with Luck obviously being retired, but yeah, that's the thing that I their offense is exciting and they make a ton of big plays, and fantasy wise, Watson's going to, as long as he stays on the field, rack up a ton of points. Same with Hopkins. But I don't know if they're the kind of team that week after week is going to be able to put up in the high 20s points, 30 points. If their defense has some of the issues, it might. Teams are able to kind of double-team Watt and kind of take him out. And he's still not, you know, quite the same guy he used to be after all of his injuries as well. So that's why, yeah, they're a team that I wouldn't be surprised, like you mentioned, if they get in the playoffs when this division going away. But at the same time, could easily see them miss it. Even before Watson got hurt a couple of years ago, that team wasn't a playoff team. And after he got hurt, they completely stumbled down the stretch and finished 4-12. So We've seen it go each way, and obviously if the offensive line doesn't hold up and Watson, God forbid, does get injured, then they're in so much trouble and there's not really anything they can do at that point. But you could say that for a lot of teams in the NFL.
Exactly, and listen, the Watson-Hopkins stack is still going to be a go-to, folks, when you're playing DraftKings, FanDuel, whatever. Stack them every week because they're going to get you some points with those two, but guess what? Super Bowls aren't won with DFS, and so it's about much more, and like we said, that's why teams like this, which you can identify these weaknesses right off the bat and say there's still a problem there, that makes you kind of question it more, and that's why, like we said, we have these teams in this section for a reason, because you can find more issues with them, and I think the Texans are certainly one of those teams, even with the, you know, the effects from the Andrew Luck part of this deal, but I don't know. I'm still iffy on them, and Bill O'Brien, I think he's still someone that we have our questions about in terms of how they approach things on offense, and are they going to be able to take that next step? We'll see what happens with the Texans. Staying in the Lone Star State, we go to the Dallas Cowboys, and that may be one that surprises some people being in this particular group, but I think you can certainly make the case with the Cowboys is that, you know, there's one of those things, and you brought this up, Dylan, in one of our first episodes with them, how good they were in one-score games last season, but from a statistical standpoint, you know, it's a situation where it has to take a step back. You're not maybe going to have the breaks go your way in every single one of those situations like they did last year for the most part. And when you consider, you know, maybe what they're facing from a scheduling standpoint, we don't know what's happening with Ezekiel Elliott. How long is he going to be sidelined? Those things really play a role in this, even, you know, having Dak, having Amari Cooper, all that, but there are some things you can look at with the Cowboys and say, hey, we need to see something on this front if we want to be completely sure that you're going to be a team that makes the playoffs.
Yeah, I also, again, you know, like we're saying, it's statistically likely that three teams about from each conference are going to miss the playoffs. And at the end of the day, when I thought about the Eagles, the Saints, and the Rams, I just thought there were less question marks. With the Cowboys, There's just things we don't know. I want to be intrigued by Kellen Moore as their offensive coordinator, kind of getting the best out of him with a more aggressive style and trying to kind of do some different things. So, and their offensive line should be healthier. They have a ton of talent on defense. So you want to be confident. But we had the same confidence in 2017 after they went 13-3 when Dak and Zeke were rookies, and it was like no one questioned them then. And then they missed the playoffs, got going away, and. That strong record in one-score games, that's something that in his ESPN's Bill Barnwell always writes these articles about kind of teams that are likely to regress and perform better. And it's usually a lot of times it goes towards the mean in terms of how you perform in one-score games. The Cowboys won 9 of their 10 games last year by one score, which is pretty staggering. And on the flip side, as you mentioned with the Eagles, their competition, their division, the Eagles were a team that underperformed record-wise compared to, you know, not just how they performed in one-score games, but how well they were with Wentz on the field and early down success rate. So they have a ton of competition in the Eagles. I don't in that division. They could, you know, if they split that series, you know, that's great for them. It's going to be a couple really tough games. And overall, yeah, again, we already mentioned before, the NFC is stacked. So a couple things don't go right. Zeke doesn't come back, and Tony Pollard doesn't really fill in that role well enough. Kellen Moore and Dak take some time to work out the offense. The defense maybe has, you know, it's as talented as it is, it's not incredibly deep on the back end. So there's just a lot of question marks, and a lot of things where you look at these teams that could regress, and you again, like, it's not necessarily one weakness like it was for the Texans in terms of their secondary, where it became really obvious that this team has a glaring problem, but there's just a lot of question marks across the board for Dallas.
Yep, Zeke's going to be the one most people have their eye on, and certainly not having him would be a big issue if it's multiple weeks. And as I continue to say, I think Jerry Jones, he can say what he wants about being willing to wait, but let's say the Cowboys start 1-2 or something, then I think he's going to be a lot less likely to wait because he wants to win games. And we'll see what happens, though. You never know with those kind of negotiations, but I think that it's going to be fascinating, as expected, especially given the parties involved there with that situation. But next up, the Baltimore Ravens, 10-6 last season. They were a team that made the playoffs We saw Lamar Jackson and what he could do, his ability to lead a team to that, but there are still questions about Lamar Jackson, his overall improvement, how teams game plan against him. Plus, I think, Dylan, for me, it's a division, too. You feel like the Steelers are going to be in much better shape this year. At least that's what we think, have a better opportunity about, you know, to make the playoffs. And then you've got the Browns, who have gone from a team that we expected to finish at the bottom now to, as we've said many times, a team that, that people think can win games in the playoffs. That puts the Ravens in a spot where maybe there's a little less room for error than there was a season ago.
Yeah, we've seen it out of the NFC, or sorry, the AFC North a few times where they've managed to get three teams into the playoffs, not including Cleveland back when Cincinnati was a bit better. So we've seen it before, but when I start thinking about the teams from this division, I mean, the Ravens are right there. They could, you know, there's a lot of people that, you know, have said that they're going to win this division and have pointed to a lot of these things not being as much of an issue as I might think, or some of these issues with their defense. I'm still curious to see how the defense ends up doing. I mean, if Earl Thomas is fully healthy, that goes a long way. We'll see how he comes back from injury, but they have a lot of new faces on that team. And you lose Eric Weddle, Za'Darius Smith, CJ Mosley, Terrell Suggs on that side. The offense, yeah, like you mentioned, that just seeing how teams adjust to Lamar Jackson and then how the Ravens counter this year. I believe Lamar Jackson's a better thrower than a lot of people will joke on Twitter and whatnot with different memes and stuff, but I still think the overall strength of their division is going to be tough. And you know, between them, I was thinking about putting the Chargers at this last spot for the AFC teams that could miss the playoffs. You know, we saw kind of how it played out in the first round of the playoffs between those two teams. It's going to come down probably to the last couple of weeks. I don't think the Ravens are a team that, you know, some of these teams earlier on this list, I could see them, at worst case scenario, you know, going down and only winning 5-6 games maybe if everything went wrong. I don't see that happening with the Ravens. I still see them winning at least 8 or 9 games. I just don't know that if they're those last couple wins, those losses to Cleveland that didn't happen last year, you know, those games with Pittsburgh are always tough, and there's a lot of competition across the board. And again, the Ravens, watch them get a bye. They could do it. They could make the playoffs and even finish in the top two if everything went right. But at the same time, there are some, especially on defense. I when I see it and, you know, see all the pieces kind of form together and see if they can regain that dominant form, then I'll be more of a believer than right now. And right now, I don't know if the defense is quite where it has been in the past, and the offense, hopefully for their sake, can keep up.
Well, scheduling-wise, too, we mentioned schedules, and I just had to look this up because I remember looking at the Ravens' schedule, and I was like, man, they've got some tough games. So they've got games against the Chiefs. They play the Seahawks. They play the Patriots. They play the Rams. So those are things, and those are just some of the teams on there. And so it's like, you know, we mentioned schedule, too, and some of those are going to be tough games. And, you know, I think that's a situation where you look at it. Some of those are on the road, so they don't exactly have an easy slate either, probably, in some of these scenarios. And so, like we said, mentioning too, with the division, playing the Browns twice now is tougher than it used to be, and we know the Steelers, what that's going to be. They're just, again, it goes back to there's less room for error because they did, you know, lose some players, and with the Lamar Jackson situation, we're still going to wait and see, you know, for him as a thrower. I know that's what everybody says, and we'll see what, you know, how he progresses and how he's looking early on in the season there. But, all right, Dylan, we wrap up this section with a team that, again, we're not saying this team's going to miss the playoffs, but it's a team that you could look at and have some concerns about in certain areas, and that is the Chicago Bears, who went 12-4 last year. As we know, a team that many thought, you know, we're going to have the opportunity to get to a Super Bowl. That didn't happen. I think it kind of plays off the Ravens here in terms of the division. The Packers are going to be better. The Vikings are going to be tough. The Lions, you know, we haven't said a whole lot about the Lions, but I mean, they're still a team that you feel like, you know, I don't expect the Lions to go 4-12 or anything like that. Yeah. I mean, they're still a team that's going to be able to win some games. That leaves in that situation in that division where you're playing tough games down the line across the board. You know, every single division game you feel like is going to be tough. And then you mentioned, Dylan, before, I know one of the things, too, is just having that depth and that how important that is. That may be something we watch for with this Bears team.
Yeah, as you mentioned just now, we've talked about the depth thing with them having drafted the fewest players in the NFL over the last 3 years. They have so much talent, you know, at these positions, but if certain guys go down at key spots, which did not happen last year, for the, you know, they had some injuries, but nothing, nowhere to, you know, Trubisky stay on the field, Max stay on the field, all these guys kind of that were in these really important areas were able to stay healthy. I'm curious, a couple of things that stuck out to me definitely will be how this defense with all the talent adjusts to a new defensive coordinator, if they can kind of still capture the magic of Vic Fangio. There was an article that came out this week in ESPN interviewing Sean McVay, Kyle Shanahan, and Matt LaFleur, and all three of them unanimously said that the toughest defensive coordinator to go up against is Vic Fangio, now obviously the head coach Denver. So not having him will be interesting to see. Also, something that was overlooked when the Bears made their huge jump last year in 2017, in the last year with John Fox, they had one of the tougher schedules in the NFL. Last year, the second easiest. This year will not be so easy. They have to, like as you mentioned, they'll be facing the AFC West with the Chiefs and Chargers, and then the NFC East with the Cowboys and Eagles, especially at the top. So they, you know, the strength of their division itself too, with Minnesota and the Packers, that's going to be another issue. Those teams both should be better, you'd think, than last year and perform much better. So more of a threat there. I still think the Bears, we'll see when we get to the predictions episode. I haven't made my complete decisions yet. Right now, I'm leaning towards the Bears still getting into the playoffs. I still think they have too much talent. Matt Nagy is too good with what he's been able to do with Trubisky. And I think Trubisky can, you know, hopefully take another step this year, kind of like we saw Jared Goff in year three a year ago. So there's a lot of positives for the Bears, but again, as we talked about, there's six teams every year just about that missed the playoffs that made it the year before, and so we had to include one more on this list, and it just ended up being Chicago.
Yeah, and I'm going to run through their schedule real quick, because I think this is the one we mentioned, because a team that there is not a lot of, you know, easy games on the schedule, and everybody could say, well, there's no easy games in the NFL. Well, you know what, sometimes there are some games you feel like you have a really good chance to win. Here's what they have, non-NFC North games here. They're at the Broncos, they're at the Redskins, they're at the Raiders, they're at home against the Saints, they're at home against the Chargers, they're at the Eagles, they're at the Rams, or maybe it's the opposite, I'm not sure, but I'm just looking at this.
Yeah, they're at the Rams.
Okay, so they're at the Rams, they're at home against the Giants, they're at home against the Cowboys, they're at home against the Chiefs. So, I mean, there's a lot of teams in there that you would say, I think that team could make the playoffs, the Bears' opponent. So that's a situation where you get some of these really good teams at home, but you go on the road against teams, let's say, like the Broncos or, you know, like the Raiders. You know, teams that maybe a lot of people don't necessarily think are going to be great teams. But as we know in the NFL, especially when you go on the road, that you know, there are no guarantees on the road. We feel like that's the case for the most part. And so that does leave kind of an interesting scenario there for the Bears and having to win some of these games on the road, knowing that they have some really tough competitive games against potential, not just playoff contenders, but potential Super Bowl contenders at home. So there's lots to chew on there with the Bears because of that scheduling aspect for sure. All right, Dylan, we move from the pessimism to the optimism. And yes, we're going to look at teams. It's what everybody wants. We want more optimism in our daily lives. And so we're going to move to the teams that didn't make the playoffs last year that could make the playoffs this season. And I feel like they're in pretty good shape to have an opportunity to do that. We start with the Pittsburgh Steelers because they were a team among that group last year that missed the playoffs. A lot of people are very surprised at that. You know, there's always a handful of teams that are less that we are surprised to miss the playoffs. The Steelers were one of those teams last year, and now they lose two of their better skill players, two skill players that have sort of defined the franchise in recent years with Antonio Brown and Le'Veon Bell. However, Dylan, they've got a really good nucleus coming back, and it's just, I think, too, from a consistency perspective, it's a team we know is going to at least put itself in position to be right there and have an opportunity, just like they were last year. It's just, how do they adjust to not having a couple of those guys, which we know Le'Veon Bell set out, but not having Antonio Brown, how does that change the offense? That's what people are going to want to see here with the Steelers.
Yeah, we saw last year how they did without Le'Veon Bell, and James Conner fit right in, performed incredibly well, both as a running back and, you know, catching the ball out of the backfield. Their offensive line is still one of the better ones in the NFL. Their defense, I think, should be better. The secondary, still a concern, but Devin Bush is kind of hopefully going to give them kind of that Ryan Shazier factor. You can never replace a guy like that, but having a linebacker is sound and everything. We'll talk about him a bit on our preseason standouts too. Just a guy that is going to be a huge help for them. In terms of their receiving corps, this is a team that has invested well in the draft with and drafted incredibly well at the receiver position. Antonio Brown's gone, and there's no way to really replace that. I do think, though, they have still a strong group with Juju at the top. As I mentioned, I think in one of the last couple episodes, I think Juju's can put up Antonio Brown type numbers in fantasy. You can write that down. And then we got guys like James Washington, Deontay Johnson, Dante Moncrief. They have talented players, and James Washington has made some plays in the preseason that make you think he can kind of fill that Juju role from last year. And a team that last year went 9-6-1, right? And they had some losses that came down to the wire on last second plays that could have gone either way. They had some really tough ones, like the Saints game too, where they played some of the better teams in the NFL and it just came up short barely. So it'll be interesting to see. We've mentioned how tough that division is with the Browns being better and the Ravens still being strong. So there's still going to be some obstacles for this franchise. But I think, you know, a year after missing the playoffs, they've had made it the previous four. I think they're going to regroup and be stronger than probably some people are giving them credit for.
Well, we stay on that tough division theme, and we go back to the NFC North, which we just talked about, and it's a team that didn't make the playoffs last year, the Minnesota Vikings, 8-7-1 last season, and it's well documented. The struggles, especially down the stretch for that team last year with Kirk Cousins under center and all the different issues they had on offense, and now trying to build off of maybe some of the success, you know, that they had at times and trying to turn that into a full season of consistency on offense. You feel like the defense is at least set up well. I've been very high on Dalvin Cook on the offensive side. There's a lot of pieces that you can like with this Vikings team. It's just, to me, again, it goes back to that division and that they are not going to play an easy schedule, and that's why on paper sometimes it's hard to exactly know which way a team's going to go.
Yeah, the Vikings, obviously they have to play against the Packers and Bears twice, so they play at both teams. They also have road games against the Chiefs, Seahawks, and Chargers. Maybe the Charger one they don't necessarily have the best home field advantage, but still all tough teams that they're facing there. Yeah, the Vikings last season, obviously a team that as we've touched on before, going into last year, they had Super Bowl aspirations. They were mentioned by were picked by tons of people to, you know, at the very least get in the playoffs. There were very few people that picked them not to make the postseason. And I think the defense, it still was near the top of the league in efficiency. I think it'll be even better. They've done a great job of kind of doing what some of the things we've talked about with the Patriots and some of these other teams, that will get these second contract guys for maybe a little cheaper than they would have gone just years ago, because everyone's trying to go young and is trying to, you know, work with rookies, and the league every year continues to get younger and younger. There's still value in keeping a unit together and having all these guys that know Mike Zimmer's defense. It's in the, you know, when they dream at night, it's in the back of their head. I think their defense is stout and is going to respond and be scary this year. We'll see how Danielle Hunter does. Maybe he'll rack up 10 plus sacks. I don't know. We'll find out. But they have too much talent for me to not think they'll get into the postseason, even with all the competition. It's such a tough, tough conference and division. We'll see if we've talked about Kirk Cousins struggling against really good teams, and his record against teams with winning records points that out. But I think there's reason for optimism too with their offense under Kevin Stefanski. Down the stretch last year, we've mentioned this when we talked about the one big question for the Vikings. They were starting to use a lot more 12 personnel and really protect Cousins on some of these play action passes. Dalvin Cook started to look a lot better in that offense too. So seeing that for a full year will be exciting. And just overall, so much talent on this team. They're definitely going to be right in the mix down the stretch.
Really good at segues here, because talent, I think, is the theme for the next team. And this is not a team that lacks hype, and we know that because we have been hyping them up, as have a lot of people around the NFL, and that is, of course, the Cleveland Browns. 7-8-1 last season, but I think a 7-8-1 record this season, or a record under 500, period, would be considered a disappointment, Dylan, because mm-hmm. they did bring in a lot of talent. You know, there's a lot of talent on that roster. It feels like a team that is deep, maybe deeper than it's been in a long time in terms of having that depth at key positions. So, yeah, I mean, it's you can run down so many different things with this Browns team. I mean, there's just a lot to like about them, and I don't think it would surprise anyone, and we have not been able to say this before, I don't think it would surprise anyone if the Browns make the playoffs and at least have an opportunity to win a game in the playoffs this season.
They are the Cleveland Browns at the end of the day, but the more we look into all the things to find wrong, you know, there's so much hype and, you know, sometimes it seems like it might be too much, but when you look at take a look, you understand why, and it's you're not fooling yourself when you get excited about this team with all the talent they have at the skill positions. I'm really excited to see how their defensive line performs with Myles Garrett, Vernon, and Sheldon Richardson. Those guys have looked great in the preseason. I think they're going to be an absolute problem for opposing offenses. They went from spending the 25th most cap space a couple years back on their defense, or last year actually, sorry, to second in the league this year. So they're really investing on their defense. That's one thing. As much as we think, you know, about the offense and all the exciting things Mayfield did with Freddie Kitchens and now you add OBJ, I think the X factor that makes this team a real contender is their defense and what they're able to do. Their secondary is also strong. So the last thing that I kind of made a note of, we've been talking about all these schedule notes of how, you know, there's probably not a lot enough made at the end of the seasons about some of the strength of schedule things. Like you said, every game's a tough game in the NFL, but there are, you know, teams that end up by the end of the year playing a much tougher slate. And we look at the Browns, they played the third toughest schedule last year. Warren Sharp projects that they'll face the fourth easiest this year. So talk about a team that was at 7-8-1, could have finished, you know, maybe even 9-6-1, or could have won that game that they tied against the Steelers early in the year. So a lot of optimism here. Todd Monken, their new offensive coordinator, he should only add to what Kitchens has already started, had a lot of success on the offensive side with quarterbacks that aren't Baker Mayfield, not that same level of talent. So it's going to be fun. I expect the Browns to attack down the field, like, you know, probably at one of the higher rates in terms of deep passes, right there with, you know, Mahomes and Goff and those offenses. So no matter what the Browns do, I think they'll be one of the more exciting teams in the NFL. And there's no reason that if their key players stay healthy that they aren't in the playoffs. And as we've said before, it's crazy to think about that with the Cleveland Browns.
Yep, for sure. They've got the talent. And again, it goes back to what we said about it'd be surprising if they finished with a record under 500, just like it would be the same for the Green Bay Packers, who went 6-9-1 last season. We know about the overhaul there for them. Aaron Rodgers under center, when you have that, you have a chance to make the playoffs. That's the goal with Matt LaFleur coming in. They're going to try some different things to get things back on track there in Green Bay, but the Packers seem to at least be set up for a big bounce back season, and I don't think it probably surprises anyone that they're in this particular section for us.
Yeah, when you have Aaron Rodgers, you're always going to be considered a playoff contender. And I think with this offense and the things that they're going to kind of add to it with LaFleur and his system while keeping some of the things that Rodgers has succeeded with, they have a chance to be incredibly explosive. That I, you know, we haven't seen it the last 2 years, but it's Aaron freaking Rodgers, man. Like, this guy's still the man. He's the bad, bad man. And I expect their defense, we talked about the Browns, maybe not to the same extent, but I still expect the Packers to have a much improved unit, adding Adrian Amos. You got Darnell Savage back there, and then Jair Alexander developing into one of the better corners in the NFL. They're going to need their pass rush to be improved. You think was Za'Darius Smith and Preston Smith, those guys can make an impact. Mike Patton always, you know, dials up interesting looks. So they already were taking kind of strides forward there last year. I think they'll improve more. And yeah, it's a team that at 6-9-1 last year, you kind of look at what went wrong, and it was more of the stagnation it felt like with that offense. And if they can avoid that, maybe there'll be some kinks to work out early in the year. I don't really anticipate that. I think the Packers will hit the ground running and immediately kind of get back to the team that we're used to seeing with Aaron Rodgers on the field.
Yeah, maybe this entire group, I'd be maybe the most surprised if the Packers missed the playoffs. I know you can make the case for a lot of these teams, but I'm that high on them, and I think that they've got a chance to get right back up there to that top tier. You always have questions when you have a first-year head coach like that, but I don't know. There's a lot to like about this team, and I feel like they're going to kind of find their groove back going into the season. We wrap up this section with a couple of NFC South teams, and we'll start with the Falcons. The Falcons are a team we've also mentioned many times thus far on this podcast as a team that you feel like really going to have a chance to take a step forward. Injuries were such a big part of their failures last season. They were one of those teams that you looked up at their record and you're like, this feels like a team that should maybe be the opposite in terms of their record. You know, they should be a team that's right there having a chance to lock up a bye in the playoffs or something. And yet it was just the injuries just hit them so much to where they could not find any consistency, even though you look at the skill positions and said, hey, they've got some talent here. They've just got to stay healthy. If they do that, I think they'll be right back there in that mix to get back to the playoffs.
Yeah, I think with Devonta Freeman, we talked previously about their offensive line, and they're pretty strong up front, and if he can stay healthy, their ability to run in the red zone I think will really help their efficiency. If they can just score touchdowns in the red zone and not settle for so many field goals or sometimes turnovers, I think you'll immediately see a split in what they're able to do. Yeah, in terms of injuries last year, they, you know, on top of their two safeties they lost, Deion Jones is the heart and soul of that defense, and their splits when he's on the field and compared to when he's not are pretty striking. I think him staying on the field is going to be a huge thing for a defense that should be much improved, and that's scary considering even last year when they weren't able to make the playoffs, they still had a really explosive offense that could even become more dangerous if they're able to convert more often when they get inside the 20.
Yep, and again, it's a team that they've got talent, and you like to have teams that have talent, guys you can rely on, certainly at those top positions, and you feel like the Falcons have that on both sides of the ball, and so that's a positive for them. When they have to go up against the division, that's very tough because it also includes the Carolina Panthers, the other team we have on this list, 7-9 last season. Everybody knows about the struggles they had down the stretch after starting off so well. They could not do anything down the stretch, and that left them out of the playoffs. Everything, I mean, it's wrapped up to Dylan in one thing. I mean, it's Cam Newton. Like, he is the one that's going to determine, you know, where they can go. Yes, Will Greer, he's looked good in the preseason, but let's face it, everything they do is still, you know, it surrounds Cam Newton, and everything they do runs through Cam Newton. And so, yeah, having Christian McCaffrey is nice, that they've got some guys that can break out at wide receiver, DJ Moore, Curtis Samuel, you know, it's about Cam Newton. Like, that's it. For me, it's about Cam Newton. If Cam Newton can get back to his former self, which may be asking a lot at this point, or even just get back to being a person they can rely on, you probably feel pretty good, but we still don't know, you know, exactly how that's going to happen or exactly how that's going to unfold.
Yeah, luckily it looks like he's going to play in week one against the Rams after that kind of scary foot injury, so that's great news. But you see last season, we talk about how they started off so well and then dropped off. It's all tied into the Cam shoulder stuff and them not being able to push the ball down the field. Defenses, as Newton said himself, being able to kind of sit on shorter routes and really kind of took away what they were doing so well in North Turner's new offense. They were a really fun team to watch early in the year when they had all everything clicking. I think this year, yeah, if Cam stays healthy, there's no reason to think they can't perform at that same clip, if not better, with all these guys getting more use of the system, some of these young receivers that really could break out this year, as we mentioned in the fantasy episode. We'll see what Greg Olsen is able to do. He's had so many foot injuries and kind of getting towards the end of the line. Their defense is a concern for me. Dipped to 22nd defense efficiency last year after being 7th in 2017 when they made the playoffs that year. So some issues there, but if their defense can, you know, improve a bit, get towards the middle of the pack, and the offense is able to perform as well as it did early in the year and stay at that clip, yeah, there's a reason that the Panthers are a popular pick to make the playoffs by a lot of people, and they're definitely going to be in the race towards the end. But it all comes down to Cam Newton, as you mentioned. I don't think if you throw Will Greer in there that they're going to perform at the same clip, not even close. And hopefully Cam's able to stay healthy and we get to really see what Norv Turner's newest system can do in Carolina.
Yep, we'll see what happens there. And I don't, we went through these teams. I don't think any of these teams are very surprising to be on this list. I don't think anyone would be too surprised because, you know, these non-playoff teams, they've gotten better in some of these areas, and certainly they're going to be right there in the race once we get closer to playoff season. These teams will have a chance, it feels like, at least looking at them on paper going into the regular season. All right, Dylan, we'll wrap up here, running through quickly some preseason standouts. And as always, we like to turn things to the fantasy football side. As we know, that's where everybody's getting their drafts ready. And I'd like to mention, if you did your draft any time before even the end of this week, like, you're just asking for trouble, in my opinion. We saw that with the Andrew Luck thing, and now we see all these different things that could happen, and that's why you wait until a couple days before the season to have your draft. I know that's not possible sometimes, but man, it's you have the draft any earlier, and sometimes it's hard because you don't get to see some of these guys that have stood out and guys that you could really focus your attention on. Dylan, we'll group some of these guys together. Let's start with the couple of wide receivers here. And that is Jacoby Myers with the Patriots, James Washington with the Steelers, and Mecole Hardman with the Chiefs. I think you look at all these guys, you know, they're playing on teams with great quarterbacks, and so that always gives you an opportunity to kind of maybe adjust a little bit quicker because you are playing with three guys as good, you know, as those quarterbacks with Tom Brady, Ben Roethlisberger, and Patrick Mahomes. These three wide receivers could be guys that you keep your eye on there.
Yeah, I'm excited to see. We already touched on James Washington and what he's able to do. So far in the preseason, he's really stood out with 203 yards, a couple touchdowns, making plays deep down the field where contested catches that are really impressive. Right now, his ADP is 138. He's the 49th receiver off the board. I think there's a chance he'll, you know, by midseason be the number two receiver. So there's a ton of value there if that ends up playing out. Not quite the same for Jacoby Myers, but I still think he can have a big role in the offense, which is crazy to say for a guy that was undrafted and, you know, stood out in camp. And then he had quotes from Tom Brady and Belichick praising him. And then you see it play out in the preseason where he's averaging the most of yards per game of any receiver through the first three preseason games. If he can have any kind of consistent role in that offense, his value in the fantasy, which is almost nothing right now in terms of his ADP, could become a guy maybe at some point in the year you look at as a waiver wire pickup. Mecole Hardman, yeah, I'm excited to see what he can do. Fantasy wise, might be tougher, and you know he might have 1 week where he gets a couple rushes, one reception, and then another where he has 2 60-yard touchdowns just because he's so damn fast. So it'll be great to see what he can do in Andy Reid's offense, but Andy Reid isn't one to really, you know, rely on one guy. We talk about Travis Kelce and Tyreek Hill, and those guys are kind of special cases because they're superstars. And Hardman, you know, maybe he'd get to that point one day, but nonetheless, really interesting piece just in terms of preseason standouts. So think about what he can do for the Chiefs offense. If you're a Chiefs fan, it just makes them that much more dangerous, and that makes them much more scary for everyone else.
Yeah, another Chiefs player that's in this group, and we'll go to the running backs now because we mentioned this guy. We're talking about Damian Williams and how back and forth I am with him from a fantasy perspective. When you think about what his role is going to be in the offense, it's because of Darwin Thompson, who has certainly been someone mm-hmm. that's been talked about a lot. A couple other running backs, Justice Hill with the Ravens and Mike Boone with the Vikings, Dylan.
Yeah, Justice Hill, first on him. He was described by a writer at BaltimoreRavens.com as a one-man thunder and lightning combo. So you usually think about, maybe Damian or D'Angelo Williams and Jonathan Stewart and some of these great 1-2 punches. This guy's got the speed and the power. He's absolutely a steal for them in the fourth round. We've seen a lot of running backs in that kind of third, fourth, fifth round succeed in the NFL over the last few years. So he's led the Ravens in rushing in two of their first three preseason games. I know there's a lot of talent in that backfield with Mark Ingram and Gus Edwards. We already talked about Gus Edwards probably being underrated fantasy-wise. But there's a chance that, you know, Justice Hill ends up kind of coming out of nowhere. We saw with the Saints a few years ago where they had Adrian Peterson and Mark Ingram, and then suddenly Alvin Kamara was racking up so many yards and no one was really talking about him. So who knows what will happen with Justice Hill, but definitely someone to keep your eye on. Mike Boone, I think as long as Dalvin Cook stays healthy fantasy wise, he might not be a big contributor, but I think for the Vikings themselves, he has a ton of value. He allows them to kind of have a change of pace back. They're not going to have Latavius Murray anymore, obviously. He's been really demonstrating his ability to do everything on offense and special teams. And if Dalvin Cook does go down, you swipe him up immediately because he's probably going to have a big role with the Vikings if that does play out. And we talked about Darwin Thompson before. I think that he could end up being the Chiefs' number one running back by the end of the year. Fantasy-wise, someone that I will, I know I'm in a league with Blake, so maybe I won't say too much about him, but I'll keep my eye on him in case things go south. So with the other running backs. A guy that's really looks dynamic, able to do it all on offense, kind of do all the things that Andy Reid wants a running back to be able to do, catching the ball, blocking, running. So It should be exciting to see what he can do in his first season here.
Speaking of guys that could win you your fantasy league, Daniel Jones. I'm sorry. I'm not making fun of Daniel Jones. But look, we have to address this because, Dylan, you and I were laughing about this, and it was not laughing at Daniel Jones. It's laughing at sometimes the coverage of Daniel Jones. I remember like when training camp first started, and like this is the problem when it comes to the social media era, is that we know everything. We know every single pass that he throws in training camp. You know, we know every single move that rookies make as soon as they step on the field. And, you know, it's like that first couple of days, the first time he got in, you know, he's throwing picks and he's throwing incompletions. And they were all just making such a big deal of it. Oh, he's a bust already. He's practiced for, you know, 8 minutes and he's already threw, you know, four interceptions. Or it's like, I have to laugh about that because then it goes to this to where, you know what, he's looked pretty good. And, you know, he's not going to be somebody, as we know, Dylan, he's not going to be someone that's going to be on your draft board. Like, you're not going to draft Daniel Jones. Let's just keep that in mind. Like, he is not the starting quarterback. You're not going to have a backup quarterback on your fantasy roster. It's just, that's not a good idea. That's not going to win you anything. But because we don't know what's going to happen, because we are going to hear Daniel Jones talked about literally every single week probably, depending on how Eli Manning plays, he's at least someone we have to keep our eye on because he could have that starting job sooner rather than later. And you know what? He's got some okay talent around him with Saquon Barkley. We know, you know, Odell Beckham's not there anymore, but he'll throw the ball. And you know what? You at least keep an eye on him.
Yeah, hopefully, as we said before, he gets onto the field. I'm excited to see, you know, how he responds to defensive coordinators dialing up their best pressures and best looks compared to what he's seen so far in the preseason. I think with him, you got to kind of, you mentioned the first part where everyone's overreacting to some of the things he did early in training camp with all the picks. If we, I don't know if we ever learn our lesson on this stuff. We saw Jared Goff look absolutely abysmal in his first training camp. Mitch Trubisky as well. And now you're seeing what those guys can do. Not saying Daniel Jones will get to their level, but it's possible. But on the flip side, we've seen tons of quarterbacks that are not big names and not guys that we think of as at the top tier or even close to it. Over the years that have been high draft picks that have performed well in the preseason. Hello, Blake Bortles. So you got to kind of go towards the mean and at least see what he does when he's actually on the field against defenses that are putting their best out there. He's a lot to prove in the future, but someone that still, you know, we're talking about preseason standouts. We can't ignore what he's done in these first three games, and there's a reason for some excitement for the Giants. I know Pat Shurmur's almost kind of taking a victory lap. He was asked about the perception of Daniel Jones and all the negative feedback, and he said, you know, let's ask all those people what they think now. I mean, I don't feel that much different because it's the preseason and teams are not giving you their best looks. I cautiously optimistic for him compared maybe to some people, but it's more of a case of you see these young quarterbacks play. We're seeing more and more of them succeed in the right system. So got to give the kid a shot and someone to keep your eye on. I just hope he gets a chance this year. That's the biggest thing. I want to see him on the field in the regular season.
Yeah, from a fantasy perspective, it's probably more about watching him and how he progresses this year and thinking about him for next year than it is looking at him and feeling like he's going to be somebody that you're going to have on your roster this season. It doesn't feel like we're going to get to that specific case there with Daniel Jones and the Giants. But then we'll wrap up with the defensive player. We know, you know, depending on what kind of league you're in, some people will have just full defenses. Others, you'll be drafting individual defensive players. And one certainly, you know, a guy, speaking of rookies, someone who's really stood out, it's Devin Bush with the Steelers, and I don't know that that's been a big surprise because there was a lot of hype surrounding him based on what he was able to accomplish in college, and he's certainly showing it thus far on the field.
There's a reason the Steelers traded up to get him, and I think not too far, at least for their sake. A lot of scouts said that Bush was one of the most pro-ready guys coming out of college, and it's shown up on the tape in the preseason. He's so fundamentally sound, makes the right move every time, it feels like, reads the opposing offense. He's already completely locked in and is going to be inserted into that defense right off the bat. I wouldn't be surprised if he leads the NFL among rookie tackles, already someone that keep your eye on and as one of the odds-on favorites to win the NFL Defensive Rookie of the Year. And also, you know, be a huge part of what we talk about with the Steelers and that defense and what this franchise wants to be getting back to the playoffs. Their offense isn't as big of a concern. Their defense has had some struggles. So having a guy plugged in like this could make an immense impact. Just someone that, yeah, out of the preseason, a lot of the best players, we don't see them on the field, right? So it's nice to see a guy like this out there and you're like, wow, that guy can really ball, and it's going to be a lot of fun watching him this year.
Yep, feels like a true Steelers linebacker, and that's someone's going to fit in right away there with them, and he should transition seamlessly into being someone they rely on there on the defense. But all right, Dylan, that'll wrap it up. Another episode in the books here on the Establish the Pass podcast, and we teased it earlier. The next one is the big one, and that is the one where we make our predictions for the 2019 NFL season. Division winners, wild card teams, the teams that will play in the Super Bowl and who will win the Super Bowl, all that good stuff here as we go into our predictions episode next week, because the start of the regular season is next week, and it's something where we're all geared up, Dylan. We've got a ton of coverage going on, not just on the podcast, but on the website. Let everybody know where they can find all the great stuff we have going up.
Yeah, at clutchpoints.com, under the NFL tab, all of our NFL content. If you search fantasy football, you can find all of our fantasy football content. We also wrote up a whole kind of piece that linked out to all of, our podcasts about the fantasy stuff, but all our writers and their picks for the breakout candidates, sleepers, all these different things that we talked about, guys that are going to gain and lose targets. So if you're smart like we talked about and had your draft pushed back to at least after the last preseason games, still some time to get some last-minute research in there. Also, in the Clutch Points app, you can under the NFL tab, all our news and scores and all the stats and everything are going to be in there. So yeah, a lot of great places to find us for the podcast itself. Yeah, so please subscribe on Spotify, iTunes, SoundCloud. We're on Google Play and some other spots too. Pretty much anywhere you can find a podcast, we are there, and we appreciate the support, and excited to get going with the regular season. Only one more preview episode to go over.
Yeah, no, we've got some exciting things in the work for the regular season. I think you guys are really going to enjoy lots of fun stuff we'll talk about during the week, whether that's looking at fantasy aspects, whether that's making our picks for the upcoming games. Lots of good stuff on the way here on the podcast. As Dylan said, be sure you're subscribed everywhere. That way you don't miss any of the great stuff we got in works here on the Establish the Pass podcast. So thanks for listening, and lots of great stuff on the way here on the podcast as we are getting closer to the start of the regular season.